This week in the studio, Jimmy Page guest stars for the anniversary deluxe edition of one of rock's biggest selling double albums.
I knew what there was, pretty much. I like 99% memory recall, and I'm not joking neither, of what there was of this Led Zeppelin material. Bring this stuff out and showcase it, because it hadn't been out on bootleg, thank goodness, the best of it for everyone involved. So it's the best thing for the fans to be able to have more information and also be able to sort of showcase each member of the band in the most positive way as well. Hi there, you're listening to Jimmy Page and I'm in the studio. You're also going to be hearing items from the 5th anniversary edition of Physical Graffiti. Oh, don't you make it by dying. Part 1.
By the time of its late February release in 1975, Led Zeppelin's sixth release, the double album Physical Graffiti, had completed a fundamental change in the popular music and media equation that began with their fourth album in late 1971. With the song Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin had proven that the album format had matured to the point that a hit single for top 40 radio release was no longer a necessity for big album sales. By the time of Physical Graffiti, the recording sessions in January and February 1974, it wasn't even a consideration for Led Zeppelin founder, guitarist, composer Jimmy Page, lead singer and lyricist Robert Plant, multi-instrumentalist John Paul Jones, and legendary drummer John Bonham. Before Led Zeppelin, the conventional wisdom of traditional A&R types was to focus on one sound or style to be successful. But the band's international success resulted in more extensive concert tours to the four corners of the world, which only stoked Led Zeppelin's already considerable creative flame, such that epic songs on Physical Graffiti like Kashmir became musical bonfires, 10 Years Gone, glowing embers, and Custard Pie, Trampled Underfoot, and In My Time of Dying, outright sonic blowtorches. In the delightful 2008 electric guitar documentary film It Might Get Loud, starring Jimmy Page, The Edge of U2, and Jack White, we finally get a glimpse inside the English country manor house known as Headley Grange, immortalized as the site of recording Led Zeppelin's 1971 fourth album. In the film, clearly, Page can't contain his pleasure with returning to the scene of creating that iconic album, as well as what would become Physical Graffiti. Here's Jimmy Page with me in the studio.
This is the second visit in 73. The first visit there is for the fourth album. Okay, so that's for whenever that is, 1970, 1971. Somewhere, I can't be absolutely precise about the date, but we're going in, a couple of years later for this. So it was tried and tested in during the fourth album as being the I thought it would work. I knew it would work if everyone would commit to it, to go in there and basically it'd be a residence, you know, as well, because it was, you could stay there, but for everyone to commit to that. And so the one thing that we would be doing was, well, three things we'd be doing: eating, sleeping and making music. And with the addition of a recording truck there, then it was going to be really, really interesting to see how far that would go. And well, there's a fourth album to prove it. So it was really the right call, and it was the right call to go in there a second time, which is like 1973, as you say. But originally, as far as John Paul Jones, he arrived late. That's what I do know. And during the time that he wasn't there, which was gave us a few days, John Bonham and I, to start working on what I'd gone in there to do, which was to make music, certainly with like my other bandmates. But there was one, you know, John Bonham. I mean, Robert was sort of around in the early days too, but I was working with John Bonham. It was just the two of us that were around then. And we did Kashmir and Wanton's Song, 10 Years Gone, and on and on and on and on it goes. It was a lot.
Long tradition of American bluesmen metaphorically comparing sweet lovemaking with tasty food. That's the blistering lead-off song Custard Pie on Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti. Multi-instrumentalist John Paul Jones wasted no time there introducing a distinctive electric keyboard sound, the electric clavinet, to Led Zeppelin's arsenal, which was popularized by Stevie Wonder's groundbreaking work on Wonder's albums Music of My Mind, Talking Book, and Inner Visions. Jimmy Page hadn't really noticed the musical cross-pollination until now.
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? Because somebody else mentioned about Stevie Wonder, and I guess you've got like the opening vamp which is there on Trampled Underfoot. It's a piano event, which I suppose you could, I wouldn't say that it was a sort of Stevie Wonder-like thing, but other people could. But then it shapes up from that initial stage. And, yeah, no, actually, the more I think about it, yeah, I see why people do say that. But from my point of view, from the guitar, it's like nothing else that's sort of preceded it.
Yeah.
The funky driving trampled underfoot from Led Zeppelin's 1975 album Physical Graffiti, known to the band then under the working title Brandy Coke. The demo is now included on the 40th anniversary deluxe edition, painstakingly assembled by Led Zeppelin founder and producer Jimmy Page.
I knew what there was, pretty much. I like 99% memory recall, and I'm not joking neither, of what there was of this Led Zeppelin material. Bring this stuff out and showcase it, because it hadn't been out on bootleg, thank goodness, the best of it for everyone involved. So it was the best thing for the fans to be able to have more information and also be able to sort of showcase each member of the band in the most positive way as well.
We'll be right back.
Hauling out the heavy lumber with The Rover from Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti, ranked by Rolling Stone magazine at number 70 on their list of top 500 albums of all time. Next, Jimmy Page reveals his philosophy in the meticulous, impressive multi-year rollout of the entire Led Zeppelin catalog with expanded deluxe editions. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page. Physical Graffiti Part 1.
Hi there. You're listening to Jimmy Page, and I'm in the studio. You're also going to be hearing Physical Graffiti Part 1.
And I'm Redbeard. The reception for the expanded deluxe editions of the first four Led Zeppelin albums plus Houses of the Holy has been the same as when they were initially released four decades ago, meeting with critical raves and brisk sales. I wondered aloud, when talking to Led Zeppelin founder, guitarist, composer, producer Jimmy Page, why that's the case.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact of being the producer and having all these points of reference. Obviously you do the track, and you make sure that the one thing in those days you couldn't drop in on was the drum track. So you had to make sure that the take of drums for the particular song was consistent all the way through, and you capture these performances. And we'd all be playing at the same time. So, say John Paul Jones would be playing bass, I'd be playing like the guitar, the backbone guitar. And Robert, you'd encourage Robert, if these things were newly being written or newly constructed, to sing along. Even if he hadn't got all of the lyrics together at the time, so that you could play on the dynamics, knowing that there's a vocal there. Do you see what I mean? So it's all about capturing the performance.
Should we roll it, Jimmy? We're rolling on one again. Trying to get this airplane on.
Not even, yeah.
So, didn't have to love me, mama, let me go. Hey, hey, mama, what's the matter here? You didn't have to make me a total disgrace. Didn't have to leave me with that beer in my face. Hey, hey, mama, what's the matter here? Oh, that's all right. Oh, doggone thing. Hey, hey, baby, why you treating me mean? Oh, oh, baby, why you treating me mean? You didn't have to crucify me like you did. You didn't have to tell me I was just your kid. That's all right, I know your sisters too. You sister too. What's the matter with you, Mama?
Did you hear the airplane flying over Headley Grange there in the English countryside at the beginning of the take for Black Country Woman? Here's Jimmy Page explaining his philosophy to the Led Zeppelin Deluxe Editions.
Therefore, if you had a track and the bass was going to be replaced or whatever for any reason, then, you know, I'd be supervising John Paul Jones doing that, and then I'd take home references of that. And so my whole reference library of this stuff just kept building over all of those years. But that being said, I must say there is like a really holistic approach that I sort of take on with these things. So when you say about your peers revisiting their time, yeah, then there'll be maybe a couple of bonus tracks. I wouldn't see it like that. I'd know the wealth of material that we had and how pertinent and how relevant it was to the overall sonic picture or the phenomena of those albums coming out. That if you put together a companion disc, so it's a sort of snapshot of what was going on at the time, that the people who've listened to Led Zeppelin music and really love it and understand how it ticks, to give them more information, they're just going to be so thrilled to bits with it.
The same exhaustive standards that made physical graffiti sound so much better than practically anything of its time have now been employed by Jimmy Page to future-proof this and the rest of the Led Zeppelin catalog.
Looking at, you know, you hear people say, well, we remastered our catalog, but I didn't just do that. I wanted to make sure that it got remastered for every way that you're going to sort of hear it. So it was so thorough. So it was like for the vinyl, it was going to be for CDs and for digital downloads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and even be prepared for whatever may come in for digital. This is for having it such a high spec, a high resolution and high definition that it's ready for whatever format comes. And that's the way that I'd look at it. I want to be thorough right across the board, so you don't have to come back and revisit little niggling parts of it.
believe it or not, that great riff rock, danceable Houses of the Holy song was deemed not ready for prime time on the preceding Led Zeppelin album in 1973, yet supplied the album's title in spite of not appearing until 1975's Physical Graffiti album. Still to come, Jimmy Page with one of the most furious 11 minutes in the history of rock recording. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Jimmy Page in the studio for the Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti Part 1.
Hi there, you're listening to Jimmy Page and I'm in the studio. You're also going to be hearing Physical Graffiti Part 1.
And I'm Redbeard. One of the enduring legacies of Physical Graffiti was Led Zeppelin's uncanny ability to seduce the ears while also pummeling the listener with a sonic slam which knew no peer, often in the same song. Jimmy Page asserts that he made the conscious decision to innovate and not be derivative.
I was getting really careful not to listen to too much other music, really, because I did, but I was listening to music in other fields. I wasn't following what everyone else was doing in the same sort of category of us, that's for sure, because I was trying to do things which were really different and I didn't want to get locked in. This is why you got something like In My Time of Dying, which is so radical relative to a sort of any sort of blues that anyone else had sort of done. You know, it's a country blues, so normally it'd be like an acoustic guitar. Well, it's a slide, okay, but it's electric, and it's this whole dynamic aspect of it and all the movements of it and the sections of it. It was, it's like comes out at 11 minutes long. So there was a hell of a lot to sort of remember along the way, but we were up for all of this.
Leaving the listener bludgeoned, breathless, and spent, the electrifying live in the studio blitz of In My Time of Dying on Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti. You're probably aware how modern recordings are usually cut and pasted together from multiple takes to make a seamless whole. So I asked Jimmy Page how many edits they made on that 11-minute opus.
There isn't any. Not on that particular song. There's no edits at all. It's just straight through. But that would have been the complete take. There was no, there might have been a sort of an attempt to do a take, and maybe there's a breakdown in it, because there was so much to remember that it's quite probable that there was a breakdown. But this, I know, it's a complete one all the way through. No, that's really what it was, and the fact is that if we're talking about the companion disc here, this is that version. So when it comes to the point of actually finessing it, then I try a number of effects on the guitar. So you've got the sort of phasing. The whole thing is quite, you know, it's more evocative. But the first guitar solo, I never felt very comfortable with that, and I sort of overdubbed the guitar solos. But that particular version is like from beginning to end, and actually listening to it back, there's the second guitar solo is flipping amazing, actually. But anyway, the first one was still weak. But nevertheless, you know, this is what it was all about, you know, trying to make it even better than what it was. It was great, and you make it even better.
I'm Redbeard. Jimmy Page returns in the studio for a whole second hour. Details coming up after this. I'm Redbeard. Don't miss Jimmy Page back in the studio at the same day and time next week. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online, visit inthestudio.net.